Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 15 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English and several other languages are available to you all the time and anytime on the website twr360.org. Now stay tuned for my teaching from Daniel chapter 5. The Titanic was a marvel of engineering for its time. It was declared by its designers and crew to be unsinkable. That arrogance caused some God-fearing people to avoid traveling on the ship, and others took special precautions that eventually saved their lives. The last dinner that was served to first-class passengers on the ill-fated Titanic was at the Ritz restaurant, and it was a feast with 10 sumptuous courses. It featured things like oysters and caviar, lobster and quail, salmon, roast duckling, lamb, and more. And there was also an 8-piece band on the Titanic, led by violinist Wallace Hartley. As the Titanic was sinking, the band sat on the deck and played music, and all of those band members went down with the ship. Those who survived reported that the last piece the band played was either Nearer My God to Thee or a waltz titled Autumn. You know, those feasting and partying on that fateful night had no idea that tragedy was just moments ahead. They'd been lulled into a false sense of security by the promises of the cruise line and their opulent surroundings. From the time the lookouts sounded the alert, the officers on the bridge had only 37 seconds to react before the Titanic hit that iceberg. There's an illustration of a similar circumstance in the scripture. I'm wondering if you know what it is and where it's found. In our continuing study of the book of Daniel, we're ready to begin looking at chapter 5. This is the account of King Belshazzar and the mysterious handwriting on the wall. This account has some similarities with the experience of the Titanic, things like arrogance, terror, and death. The last phrase of Daniel chapter 4, verse 37 says, "Those who walk in pride, he is able to put down." Belshazzar ignored the lessons of his predecessor, and he paid the price. As you regular listeners know, I like, when it's possible, to take the title of the message directly from the text. Today we begin the study of chapter 5, Weighed and Wanting. Now once again, we have a lengthy text of 31 verses, so I'll not read the entire text today. I'll begin at verse 1 and read through verse 16. That's Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 to 16. Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been at Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled, his countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, "O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God, and in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation." Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who is of the captives of Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard of you, that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not give the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of you, that you can give interpretations and explain enigmas. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Now, before I get into the body of the teaching, I want to set the stage for the events happening in this text. As chapter 5 begins, about 70 years have passed since the capture of Jerusalem in Daniel chapter 1. So Daniel is by now an elderly man, most likely in his 80s. Nebuchadnezzar's affliction and restoration in chapter 4 have been followed by his death in 562 BC. So approximately 23 years have elapsed between chapters 4 and the beginning of chapter 5. It seems likely, from historical records, that Belshazzar was co-regent with his father, Nabonidus. He reigned, that is, Nabonidus reigned, from 556 BC until the kingdom fell to the Medes in 539 BC. Belshazzar's mother was either a daughter of Nebuchadnezzar or one of his former wives. Additionally, the revelations given to Daniel in chapters 7 and 8 occurred in this quarter-century interval between chapters 4 and 5. Chapter 7 says it was revealed to Daniel in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, and the vision in chapter 8 occurred in the third year of Belshazzar's reign. This means the visions in these two chapters most likely occurred 12 years before the events that are recorded in chapter 5, the chapter we are just now beginning to study. So in this text that I read from Daniel chapter 5, we see several scenes that illustrate the eventual verdict, weighed and wanting. The first scene is audacious arrogance. One of the meanings of audacious is contemptuous of law, religion, or decorum. And that fits this opening scene so well. Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, is giving a lavish feast for a huge crowd of his officials. Daniel says it was 1,000. If that seems like a stretch to you, consider that Persian monarchs were known to dine daily with more than 10 times that many. Ashur's Nassarpal II gave a great feast at the dedication of his new capital city, Nimrud, in 879 BC, and his guest list was over 69,000. Imagine that. So the size of this banquet isn't unusual. It's actually on the small side, and it may indicate the shrinking that had been taking place in the Babylonian Empire as it was slowly conquered by the Medes and the Persians. As the feast is being held, the surrounding areas have already been conquered. Nabonidus, Belshazzar's father, had already been captured, and only Babylon, with its massive fortifications, remains intact. But it too is surrounded by enemies, and they're laying siege to the city. History tells us the city was seemingly impregnable, and they had laid in enough supplies to withstand a multi-year siege. So there was this feeling of safety and security. But as we learn, it was a false sense of security. So picture with me Belshazzar sitting on an elevated platform, leading the crowd below him in rounds of drinking toasts to the power of their gods. As the wine flows freely and dulls the senses, natural inhibitions are thrown aside. So the king, his face flushed with the effects of the wine, orders the gold and silver vessels from the temple to be brought. He intends to pass them out and use them as drinking cups in celebration of Babylon's gods. This is where we find the audacious arrogance of the king. If the king had been sober, he most likely wouldn't have given this command, because no human being had any right to use what belonged to the gods. But Belshazzar threw law and religion and decorum to the wind. His actions remind me of this saying, "Sow the wind and reap the whirlwind." He certainly did that. It's also possible that he did this sacrilegious act intentionally. It could have been his way of putting down the God of Israel. At the same time, he's elevating his heathen deities. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio CD or printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Weighed and Wanting. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or call us toll-free at 877-792-7275. Or mail your request to Hope for Today, Box 371, Fort Francis, Ontario, P9A3M7. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Weighed and Wanting. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, you may send your request to our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org, or call us toll-free at 877-792-7275, or mail your request to Hope for Today, Box 371, Fort Francis, Ontario, P9A3M7. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Weighed and Wanting. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.